And so the fair ministry, what a blessing. Amen. Great ministry. If you do it right, you know, I mean, a lot of people go into the fairs and they just pass out church brochures and they have a little Romans Road at the end of the thing. They don't really try to get people saved or even witness to people much. That's fine if you want to do that. I don't have a problem with it. But if you want to have a really good fair ministry and you do it right, you'll see more people saved, more professions of faith, pass out more tracts than you will in a year of church work. That's the gospel truth. It's really so Leslie and I, my daughter, one night, this is the gospel truth, one night we had 30 people pray and ask Christ to save them in a four-hour shift. 30 people, my daughter and I. Amen. And now a couple of them were a little bit quicker, like we're out front with kids, you know, that were real little. We're not allowed to take kids out in the back if they're under a certain age. But 30 people, amen. Well, that's, you know, you say, Brother Marshall, you think God saved them all? I don't know. But all I know is, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our job is just to give him the message, amen? God's job is to save him, amen? So, it's great ministry. All right, thank you for asking that. Sorry, I got out on a little rabbit trail on that. But it is a great ministry, and I believe the local church, great ministry for the local church to get plugged into. Especially, in your own county, you know, your own county fair, because you get people to come in your church from your own county fair. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, if nobody has any questions, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I want to teach tonight. This is not going to be a real bombastic message tonight, but I want to teach tonight on just being a witness for the Lord. Amen? And Acts 1, 8, you know, how many of you have listened to Christian radio and probably never have heard a message on Acts 1, 8, just being a witness for the Lord? Most of us never have. I've listened for Christian radio for 41 years. I've never heard a message on there on soul winning or witnessing or anything like that, okay? You hear all kinds of messages on Christian problems and the family and all that stuff, and that's good and well, but why don't we hear messages on just being a witness for the Lord, amen? So I'm going to try to teach tonight a little bit on just being a witness for the Lord. In Acts 1:8, God gives the Great Commission, the fifth time he gave it before he ascended up to heaven. And we know it's important because this is the fifth time he gave it. Amen. He said in Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, just before he ascended. He said in John 20:20, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And what was the other one there? Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said all these things just before he ascended, which shows us the importance God puts on evangelism. Amen? And then the last thing he said right here in Acts 1:8, I was there in Jerusalem not long ago where he went up and ascended up at the ascension. And that was a blessing being in that place. My brother-in-law paid for it, for Cindy and I to go over there on a trip, and we had a good time over there, and witnessed to a few Jews over there, and a few Arabs too, amen? But anyway, in Acts 1:8, the Bible says this, but you shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, we pray you bless your word tonight. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to be very long. It took a long time introduction tonight, but I'm probably be another 15, 20 minutes tonight. But bear with me tonight, and let's learn a little bit tonight of how we can be a witness for the Lord. Amen. I believe all of us in our hearts want to be a witness for the Lord, but many of us fail at it because we don't really understand it. Amen. Well, first, why should we be a witness for the Lord? Because God commands us to. Amen. He said, ye shall be witnesses. Amen. He doesn't say you might be witnesses, you could be witnesses. He says you shall be witnesses. So it's a command to be a witness for the Lord. In fact, confessing the Lord as your Savior is actually tied in with salvation. Amen. We know that. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, Brother Joe, do you mean I have to confess Christ as my Savior to be saved? No. But if you do get saved, guess what? You will, I believe, confess Christ as your Savior. I don't believe God has any secret agents. Amen. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. You know, the world, they're not ashamed of their stuff, are they? I mean, the gays, they're not ashamed. They've come out of the closet, amen, with their homosexual agenda. But God didn't make Adam and Steve, amen. God made Adam and Eve. The atheists, they're not ashamed of their agenda, amen. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The evolutionists, they're not ashamed. They're trying to brainwash our college kids today in college, telling us we come from monkeys, amen. We came from monkeys, Brother Bob. We ought to go down near the local zoo and start preaching to them gorillas. We don't know when one of them's going to turn into a monkey, amen? But, you know, it takes more faith to believe in a Big Bang than it does Genesis 1:1. Amen? You know, if you believe in a Big Bang, I got some beach land out in Las Vegas I want to sell you, amen? It's a mess. That's why God says, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called, amen? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, amen? They take it the wise in their own craftiness. But God says here, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we need the Holy Ghost to be a witness. Amen for the Lord. Now, when do you get the Holy Ghost? You get him when you get saved. Amen. The Bible says after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, you're not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we get all the Holy Ghost, amen, when we get saved. But a lot of times the Holy Ghost doesn't get all of us. Amen. So what we need to do is surrender to God and say, Lord, I'm not much, but I want you to use me. Amen. Just use me, and I believe God will. Just surrender to God. Say, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. That's what God wants us to do. He may not have, you have a problem maybe going to the mission field. Just say, Lord, if you want me to go to the mission field, I'll go. Whatever God speaks to your heart about, just surrender to him. Now, he very well may not want you to go to the mission field, but he wants you to be willing to obey any of his commands. Amen. So that's the first key, to be willing to obey the Lord. Amen. And God says, you shall be witnesses. And so yielding your life to Christ. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself, servant to obey. His servant are ye to whom you obey. Then after you do that, I believe to be a witness for the Lord, abide in Christ. Amen. Abide in him. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch, thank you, Brother Rob, as the branch cannot abide in itself, neither can ye, except ye abide in me. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, I believe it means this, very simply, start each day with a devotion, amen? Start each day, read your Bible, pray, read till you get something, amen? Not just, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'll read my two or three chapters in the morning. I couldn't tell you a thing I read. Amen. My brain isn't even engaged, you know. I'm the natural man, Pastor. You know, the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. That's me in the morning. Amen. Until I have my first sip of coffee, and then I turn into, and I get a little bit more spiritual after that. You know, that's bad, isn't it? I quit drinking coffee one time, and I couldn't read my Bible anymore. That's terrible, so I had to go back to coffee. But I've cut it down. Just a sip, you know, so I don't go too fast, amen, because I drink that whole cup, I'm boom, 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 still couldn't tell you anything I read, you know, but that's martiology there, it didn't cost you nothing today, but so read your Bible, pray, and then ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit of day, Spirit of God for that day, amen. Start each day with the Word of God in prayer, and then set your mind that today you are going to try to be a witness for the Lord. Now let me ask you this. What do you think the greatest tool is for witnessing for the Lord? I'll talk to me. Who would say? Yes, sir, back there in the back. God's word. Okay, yep, that's right. Let's narrow it down a little bit. Your mouth. Amen. Let's narrow it down a little bit more. What do you think the greatest tool for witnessing for the Lord is? Huh? From the heart, yeah. Those are all good and right, but let's narrow it down a little bit more. Thing to do, yeah. Live it. Yeah, that's true. Let your light so shine before men, you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. What else? What's the greatest tool for witness? Tracts. Tracts. Carry gospel tracts. Believe me, folks, you'll never be a witness on a daily basis for the Lord until you begin to carry gospel tracts. It's as simple as that. When I sometimes go in a store, I try to carry them or have one in my car when I get out and do something. I bring it in with me. And I purpose in my heart when I'm going into that store or whatever I'm going to do or pay for my gas, that I'm going to give this person a gospel tract. I purpose it in my heart. And I take that tract with me. And folks, let me say this. Not only carry gospel tracts, but have something that you say when you give the gospel tract out. It will give you confidence, okay? Many times we lack confidence to do that because we really don't know what to say. You know, we get up there and go, blah, 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 you know, and kind of sputter, and we don't know what to say. So ask the Lord to give you something to say when you pass out a gospel tract. Now, this is what I say when I pass out a gospel tract. This is what I use. I say, let me give you this, sir. It'll tell you how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. Or I just say, let me give you this. Tell you how to go to heaven. Tell you how to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? And they'll take it. And I give it to them. But if you don't have a gospel tract, say when you're in that store buying your groceries and you go to pay for your groceries, and you don't have a gospel tract, you won't witness to that person. Because you can't stand up there and give a 5-point message on hell because 5 people are standing behind you waiting for you to go through the line. So you have to have a gospel tract, and that will help you to be a witness for the Lord. Now let me say this. Get good gospel tracts. I found this place here. It's called Operation Somebody Cares, and it's out of Virginia. And they got these little comic book tracts. You guys ever hear the Jack Chick tracts? Jack Tricks always said this. He says, Chick tracks get read. You know that's true? They do. Those comic book tracks get read. And so I found this, but they're 15 cents a piece. That's a little expensive, you know. So I found this place down in Virginia, Operation Somebody Cares, that will give you these for free if you want them, if you don't have the money. We get them every year for the fair ministry, and I use them year-round also for personal witnessing. And we get them in their little comic book tracks. And they work. They work. These comic book tracks work. Let me give you an illustration. I was down in West Virginia a few weeks ago going down 77 there. You know that big plaza they have down there? You can get off and get gas and stuff when you're going through West Virginia. I don't know if any of you guys have been down through there. But I got off at that plaza and I thought, you know, I'm going to take a couple tracks and try to witness to somebody while I'm in here. Well, for some reason, I just didn't get it together, get it to do it. I went in and used the restroom and I came back out. But as I was going in, I took this. I had my tract in my pocket, and I just threw it down on the bench there. And I walked into the the place, and you know, did my business and stuff, and came back out. And here was 4 kids sitting on that bench, and they had one of these tracts, and they were all bunched around reading this gospel tract. Amen. 4 of them. And I thought to myself, you know, these do get read. Amen. And so. Carry gospel tracts. That will help you to be a witness for the Lord. And then have something you say. Again, have something you say. Your thing might not be my thing. You say, well, Brother Marshall, I just can't do that. You know, folks, you can do that. God never commands anything to do that we can't do. Amen? He can't. You say, well, how do I do it then? Let me ask you this. You know these big sports guys, how do you think they become good? Practice. Amen. Practice. Folks, if you want to be a good witness for the Lord, it's as simple as this. Practice. Practice makes perfect. Sure, you're going to stumble a few times when you first start. Forget it. Not just leave, you know. But you're going to stumble and mess up and be afraid and everything. But as you practice doing it and ask God to help you, you'll get better and better and better and more proficient at being a witness for the Lord. You know, I always use this illustration. My first marriage, I probably used that here, I think, Brother Bob, a couple times probably. But it's a good illustration. When I first got married, I was a missionary to Australia. And I married an Australian girl over there. She was a single girl, of course. And she had gone to Tennessee Temple for 8 years, okay? She had 2 4-year Bible degrees at Tennessee Temple University. She had religion coming out of her ears, amen? And so we got married, and after we got married, I went out, I was pastoring a little church out in the boondocks over there in Australia. There were about 10 people going there. I was just trying to get that little church going. Leslie and I were trying to get it going. And so along comes Saturday, come along, and I said, Leslie, get up. Come on, get up. We're going to go to visitation. This was the first Saturday after we were married. She says, oh, she says, what do you mean? I said, well, we're going to go out and knock on some doors. She says, oh, you go out and knock on some doors. I'll stay home and pray for you. I said, no, come on, get up. Come on, we're going to go out and knock on some doors. She says, no, I'll stay home. Come on, get up. She says, okay. So we got up, and we went out. We started knocking on doors. Went to the first door, and this person came to the door. I said, hi, my name is Joe Marshall. I'm from the Bible Baptist Church here in Buna, Queensland. We're just out visiting, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can know for sure when you die you go to heaven, inviting people to Sunday school, et cetera, et cetera. Just small talking people, you know. And we got to about the fifth door, and knocked on. This little old lady answered the door, you know. And my wife was standing next to me. I said, I'm going to put one on her, you know. And so this little old lady came to the door. She said, yes, young people, can I help you? And I said, yes, ma'am. I says, my wife has got something to say to you. And my wife said, my name's Leslie Marshall. We're from the Bible Baptist Church here in Buna, and we're just out visiting and inviting folks to church, and you think maybe you could come sometime? And the little lady said, yeah, little sweetheart, I'm glad you asked. I just might think about that and come down there and see you guys sometime, you know. And they talked for a couple more minutes, you know, there at the door. And we left, and we walked down the sidewalk. My wife looked over at me. She said, I'll kill you when I get home. You know, but folks, this is the gospel truth. It wasn't 2 months later, she was taking one side of the street, and I was taking the other. Now, there was a girl that couldn't be a witness for the Lord and didn't want to go out and do it, didn't want to have anything to do with it. But guess what? She found out that she could, and she became a very proficient witness for the Lord. Amen? Very proficient. A lot of other areas in evangelism she helped me with over in Australia. But what's the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. So we can be a witness for the Lord. And I believe in our hearts, all of us want to be a witness for the Lord. Amen? We want to. We want to tell other people about Jesus. Amen? Because why? Because people are going to hell, folks. The people you rub shoulders with every day, we don't realize, but they are going to a literal burning hell if they don't get saved. Amen? They say the average person, before they get saved, gets witnessed to 7 times. Well, guess what? You can be one of those 7. Amen? And you know, we put a lot of the emphasis on leading people to the Lord nowadays, and Baptists do that, have a tendency to do that, you know. If you don't lead any people to the Lord, you ain't worth a hill of beans. But most of us really will not lead that many people to the Lord this year, if any, a lot of us, right? But we all can be a witness for the Lord. And guess what? If you witness to that person, you give them a tract, you put a sign out in your front yard, they see that scripture, God uses it in their heart, you have some, maybe a bumper sticker on the back of your car, they see that, God uses that on them. Guess what? If they ever get saved, you had a part in their salvation. Amen? You had a part. And I'm going to close with this, but let me teach you something real quick. Come to John chapter 4. Let me teach you something real quick. And I always use this teaching, but it's a tremendous teaching on reaping and sowing. In John chapter 4, context is Jesus is teaching on sowing and reaping, okay? And he just got done winning the woman at the well, and she went in town telling everybody she got saved, and the apostles had gone and got some food, and they came back in verse 31. The apostles said this in John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Then said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I think the Lord got a little bit fired up there, don't you? Amen. The apostles came back with the food, and the Lord said, I don't need no food. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And that's what soul winning will do for you, amen? Witnessing will do it. It'll fire you up a little bit. You know, we as Baptists, we don't do the sacraments like I used to do when I was a Roman Catholic for the means of grace. Our means of grace as Christians are the Word of God and prayer. Amen? But I like to throw in witnessing too. Whenever I get bummed out a little bit, if I go out and just tell somebody about Jesus, man, it kind of perks me up, preacher. A means of grace, you know? And but look down here in these last three verses. I'm going to close with these. And Jesus begins here now to teach on sowing and reaping. He says this, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." And here is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Now watch this now, verse 38. "I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." Now who are the other men that labored, the sowers or the reapers? The sowers, right? And God says here that the reaper enters into the sower's labor. Other men labored, the sowers, and the reaper enters into the sower's labor. I like that, don't you? You know why I like that? We could all sow the Word of God, amen? We could all put a sign out in our front yard. We could all try to pass out a gospel tract. We can all try to witness to somebody. And guess what? If they ever get saved, say they got come here to church, the preacher preaches, they come forward and they get saved, guess what? I won't take this with a grain of salt, but you entered into their labor, amen? So sowing the Word of God. Amen. "He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." Amen. Folks, the world needs the gospel today, folks. It's a dark world out there. Amen. It's dark out there. "In the entrance of thy word giveth light." It's a light that shineth in a dark place. Let's bow our head and pray.